It is now time for another episode of that other Masonic podcast. Brother Jared Atkins and Brother Todd Whaley.
And welcome back to another episode of your favorite podcast, the best damn damn sports show, period.
Yeah, round one.
Okay.
We're that other one.
Oh, right. Well, still the best damn Masonic podcast there is. Shout out Best Damn Sports Show, period. Fox Sports.
Long time.
You remember that? Yep. Tom Arnold. Gotta love it. Okay, Todd.
The other Masonic podcast, if you didn't already know.
two idiots with a podcast. So, hey.
Catch your name.
I always say we have a treat. Sometimes it's a treat. Sometimes it's a letdown.
It's always a treat.
We're going to hope that tonight's a treat, not a letdown.
It'll be a good episode. Don't let him fool you.
Todd, we've got somebody on the horn tonight. Yep,
buddy of mine.
I introduced you to him at Grand Lodge.
Yeah, well, I hung out with him in the cave.
We were Facebook friends. I don't quite remember how we met on Facebook. I'm sure when we bring him in a second here, he'll tell us. But we're hitting up, of course, we're right smack dab in the middle. We're an hour from Louisville, Kentucky, or Evansville, Indiana, two big hubs in this area. So this guy is close. He's in that Louisville metro area. That's that whole New Albany, Clarksville, Jeffersonville, Louisville area. That's a big metropolitan hub. I can't say it.
You didn't say it right that time.
I do, and I do radio metropolitan. But enough talking. Let's let the brother introduce himself, and then he'll also tell us how him and I became friends, because I don't quite remember. One of us obviously had to send the other a friend request.
Obviously.
I mean, this brother does have a sharp look to him. He's always dressed in a suit all the time. So, brother, if you will please introduce yourself and run through your Masonic titles for us.
Oh, okay. hey, everybody. My name is Richard Jeffries. I am the current Worshipful Master of New Albany Lodge number 39. I'm a noble of Cozair Shrine. I'm a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Freemason and George Rogers Clark Valley. I think that's about all my titles. Oh, I'm also a Kentucky colonel. That one's new.
Oh, I always wanted to be a colonel.
I don't know what that is.
I get fried chicken. It's an honorary order they give to people who have done something good. It's a Kentucky honorary title.
This man wears a lot of hats.
Colonel Sanders was a Kentucky colonel.
Right.
Yeah, I think he was one of the.
I love his.
I don't
chicken.
Think he's one of the first, but he was up there. He's the one everybody knows about.
No, the Kentucky Colonel's been going on since like the 1800s. So,
yeah,
they have a real big party at the Derby every year.
Look at you! You have one conversation with Kentucky Grand Master, and look at you go.
Hey, I need by the Colonel through the grotto. Okay. I should have been a Colonel, but no one nominated me to be a Colonel.
He's in a very famous shrine. What do you call them? Deserts, you always say?
I think they're deserts.
I mean, Cozair, the Cozair Children's Hospital at Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Hottie Shrine, the circus in Evansville, but Cozair's is big time. So,
yeah.
Is it safe to say, can I call you a Floyd County boy? Are you officially a Floyd County boy?
Oh, yes. I live in New Albany. I actually live just four blocks down from my lodge. So.
Ooh, local.
So he is a Floyd County boy. Yep, I got nothing against New Albany.
I like it here. I lived in Louisville for 16 years, and I'm very happy to live here now.
Now he's a Hoosier.
So, Richard, I do have to ask, because how did me and you become friends? Who sent the friend request here? Did you find out about us because of the show? Was it just people you may know, like a lot of people do, and they just add people? Or how did you and I become? I'm glad we did, but I don't remember the backstory.
So, actually, you're pretty spot on. I started listening to the podcast, but also your name came up under suggested friends. And for a while, I was like, I can't add this guy. You know, I'm sure everybody's adding him. They're like, he's just going to think I just want to be on the podcast. So I think I eventually sent it to you after I met you all at talked to you all for just a second and said, hey, I like the podcast. It's the first time I went up to Grand Lodge for something. Y'all were there recording.
Right.
I waved him. He was way across the room, and I was like, come over here. And then that's when I introduced you to him. So,
yeah, I remember that.
This is a sharp-dressed brother,
too. Realize who I was.
Oh, man. That's your sharp-dressed brother. This a suit. Oh.
Yeah, I mean.
Sidebar, because I love to interrupt.
You do.
Your uncle.
Here we go.
My boss at the radio station, your uncle. So we went up to Indianapolis last week.
For your award ceremony.
The award ceremony thing, which, of course, when they're hearing this back, this was like a month ago or whatever.
Right.
But I was like, he goes, what are you going to wear? I said, khakis and a polo. He goes, no, you're not. He goes, this is a fancy affair. I said, okay, it's fine. I said, I'll put on black dress pants, my good cowboy boots, and I'll put on a shirt with a tie. He goes, no, you're not. I ended up getting a suit. A suit.
You need a suit.
So I have a black suit now, which is going to work for the commandery. Which is going to work for the commandery, right? Boys, yeah. But our secretary asked me the other week at the breakfast, he goes, you look pretty dapper in that suit. He goes, you're going to start wearing 1 degrees now? I said, no.
You should.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You wear a suit to the next degree, I'll wear one too.
All right.
Oh, God, you're really going to do it, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Anyways, let's go ahead and get started. Go ahead and ask him. Let's get started.
Richard, what got you interested in Freemasonry?
So that's a fun story. It gets a little sad, but then it gets kind of cool. When I was 16 years old, my grandmother had passed away, and I was very close with her. And that's the sad part. So to move forward with that, she actually had her funeral at Owen Funeral Home. And I seen Mr. Owen, David Owens, he had some Shriner
Richard
fezzes inside. Yep.
Just out of curiosity.
He does this a lot.
I do this a lot. You listen to the show. Was this the funeral home that I reported in the news that got shut down a couple of months ago? Because there was one up there
No.
Okay. So it was another one up there in New Albany then. I couldn't remember the name.
Actually is, honestly, I could throw a stone from my house and hit that. That's Springs Valley.
Springs Valley. That's what, because everybody, we had people calling in the station going, Springs Valley Bank? Like, no, I said funeral home. Where did you get Springs Valley Bank out? Continue. My bad.
No, you're fine. You're fine. No, Spring Valley is a whole nother thing.
Are you okay?
Anyway, we're at David Owens. We're at Owens Funeral Home. David Owens was one of the funeral managers there, and my grandmother had very specific instructions that after the funeral service, the hearse takes her to a chapel at the cemetery. We say her final goodbyes, and then we leave. We were not supposed to see her get put in the ground. She didn't want that. And my family are a bunch of hillbillies, and I love them. All standing outside gawking.
You wouldn't know this brother's a hillbilly. I'm telling you now, he's dressed to the nines all the time. You wouldn't think he's a hillbilly the way he talks.
He wore a suit one time.
Check his Facebook. He's always Dapper Dan.
Well, you got stuff to do.
That's just of recent. That's of recent. I never owned a suit until I became a Mason.
Me either. Okay. Continue.
But,
keep going.
So my family's all standing out gawking, and I'm sitting here going, hey, you know, she doesn't want us to see this. This isn't okay. We really should leave. And my family responds, well, we can't just let her go. What if somebody steals her? What if those guys dig in the graves? What if they steal her rings? Now, of course, her rings weren't really worth anything. And
right.
I think really it was more interest in anything. And they're all doing anything. But the big part of this is, my Aunt Sheila, who is an atheist, and the only reason I say that is in terms to Freemasonry, I think that's relevant. And she turns to everybody. She says, no, Mr. Owen there, he's a Mason. He would never let that happen. And my whole family looked at each other, turned, and walked away. Not another question. Not another word.
Wow.
And I was like, what's a Mason? I didn't know. I had no idea.
He builds walls.
right. And funny enough, my grandmother, and I didn't know this at the time, she's buried in the Masonic plot at Louisville Memorial Gardens. A lot of them have, they have like almost an outside altar. There's a chair in the east and in the south and in the west, and there's an altar in the middle of it. And if you look, you can realize that's what it is. And she has it's a beautiful cemetery. Well, but cool. It's little things that I never realized at 16 years old what I was really getting into. And, of course, her father was a Mason, so I think that might be why she's burying the plot she is.
Well, probably, yeah. That's really cool. I see a graveyard in Fisher, Indiana, not Fishers, but Fisher, Indiana. It's over on the Illinois border, and it has like a lodge set up in the cemetery and everything. So yeah, that stuff's really neat to see.
It's really cool, and so that's pretty much my story with what I got interested in. Of course, I first petitioned a lodge when I was 19. You know, my boss at the time, I was working as a maintenance man. He was a Mason, and I said, well, I'm going to petition the lodge. And then like a month later, after I petitioned, he fired me over some really crazy stuff. And then he, because he did that, and I was 19, I was young and dumb.
Fired?
Yeah, he fired me. He let me go because if he let the other guy go, he could file unemployment. And he was trying to fire me to show, because I've only been there 2 months. He was going to fire me to show the other guy that he would fire him. And that backfired on him because that guy crashed the company car, the company truck, into a house off property. It was crazy.
Nice.
And that's fine. But that brother, that guy, that he was actually a demitted brother. He demitted from his lodge. And at the time he told me, and I didn't think about that then, but he said it was his turn to go to the to be over everything. I guess that was to be the master. And he said his lodge did not vote him in. Ooh. And they picked over him. And at that time, I didn't think about that. So I just was kind of like, oh, okay. And, you know, I would talk to this guy, and it was kind of getting him interested in Masonry again. He was actually a member of DePaul Lodge, which is also it's up the street from us in our county. Okay. We all used to be in the same building. But once he fired me at 19, I thought, oh my gosh. And he was supposed to sign my petition. I thought he was going to call his brothers at the time and tell him I'm a piece of crap and don't let this guy into the fraternity. So I withdrew my petition. And then I didn't petition again until I was 22, 23. Mm. I don't know. I was working at the casino.
Then you went to New Albany Lodge then.
And that's when New Albany, yeah. Because the first time I petitioned, I was at Pythagoras.
What do they call that?
There
Horseshoe?
Was a difference. There was two lodges.
Horseshoe Casino?
Yes, it was Horseshoe when I got hired on and turned
into something
Caesar,
different
Southern
now.
Indiana. It's Caesar Southern Indiana. That's
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think my in-laws go there a lot.
I worked in surveillance there for 5 years, so that was fun.
Oh, nice.
Okay, well, now's your chance to ask your question that usually follows up my question.
No, you gotta ask it.
Are you gonna make me do your job?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Richard, what kept you coming back to Lodge? Because as we know, far too often in this fraternity, one of two things happen. Either they take their entered apprentice degree and they never come back, or they take their Master Mason degree, they get the title of being a Mason, and they go join the Shrine. Never come. Just kidding about the Shrine jokes. People always think we crap on the Shrine, which we don't. But some people get the title and they never see him again.
And they move
so,
on to independent bodies. So what kept you coming back?
What
to
Blue kept
Lodge?
You coming back to Blue Lodge?
So that's a good question. That's a really good question because I've been asking myself the same question as of late. But I joined and it was a lot of fun. You know, I felt like, hey, I belong to something now. I have all these brothers. And when I joined, it was 2019, December 2019, and then I took my fellow craft in February, and I was scheduled to take my Master Mason April 1st.
COVID. What do you want to bet the next words out of his mouth are COVID?
Shut down.
COVID. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had to wait 9 months before I was made a Master Mason, and all that anticipation as a fellow craft. You know, I was ready to go. I was hopping ready. I was like, I'm ready.
You should have had that stair lecture memorized by then.
Man, we're going to talk about the stair lecture in my lodge.
I got a button for that. I got the right one this time.
Oh, damn.
that's a whole nother thing. But no, by the time I was made a Master Mason and then that was post-COVID and you know, I kept coming back. It was something I belonged to. It was the only thing that I really had outside. I used to belong to haunted houses, and at that time I wasn't going. I was kind of in a lull status there, and then
you should have called me. You should have called me. I know we didn't know each other, but
yeah,
you know,
I should have called you.
I got Jason Voorhees tatted on my arm for a reason.
Heck, did you belong to a haunt?
No, I just I like realism and portrait tattoos, and I done scarred my body up by putting Jason on my arm, so at this point I might as well just do it. Right. I'll have a Michael Myers sleeve planned for the other arm, but Todd won't give me any money for it.
Give me money for mine.
Yeah, you need to have a Masonic tattoo.
I know.
Anyways.
Yeah, it's on the docket. Tattoos are expensive.
Yeah, they are. And the wife don't want me to spend the money on them.
What do you want for Christmas? I wear a size $500 gift card to a local tattoo shop.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, they ain't gonna happen.
So that kept you coming. Oh, so yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying, you know, I kept coming back. I loved the degree work. I loved, I immediately got put in line. I was senior steward, as soon as I got out the gate, and, we had some people leave, and that jumped me up to junior warden. So right as I got there, I was very involved, and we have a very large temple. It has, a large York Rite room, a really large blue room. It's a old Victorian mansion that was built onto 100 years ago to accommodate the lodge rooms in our hall.
I want to talk to you.
We always had a lot of work needed done.
I want to talk to you a minute about the Scottish Rite. Now, you're going to the George Rogers Clark Valley, which is located in neighboring Harrison County in Cordon, correct?
Actually, no. So, no. This is, oh man, you've got a lot of Southern Indiana can of worms you're opening up here. But they were at Cordon. I think they were originally at Pisgah.
Right.
And then they moved to the Tri-County Shrine Club in Clarksville. And
Well, that answers my decision now. Yeah. That answers my decision now about when I joined the York Rite or the Scottish Rite. I was going to join the Valley of Cordon because that was the new one. Well, now it's no longer closer. You got to go to Clarksville. So now Evansville is closer. So it will be Evansville when I join.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Cordon, it's not in Cordon anymore. It's, and it just, the Tri-County Shrine building, for lack of better terms, is being sold to the Elks Club. They've got some stuff going on.
I remember hearing something rumblings about this. Now that you bring this up, I feel like I've seen something on some of the Masonic groups on social media or in the news somewhere. Yeah, I think I remember hearing something about that now.
Yeah, we talked about that in Kentucky a little bit.
Yeah.
I talked to him about it a little bit, and I'm not necessarily saying I don't want to talk about it. I just necessarily – there's other stuff that just happened.
Yeah, that's okay.
The Reptile Expo that just they last minute just weren't able to have their show, and they're accusing past people. Yeah. It's called the Indiana Reptile Breeders Expo. They've been meeting at the Tri-County Shrine Club once a month for 15 years.
I got an idea. Don't have a reptile expo. Nobody likes snakes.
Hey, don't say that. I've got a snake. I've got 8 different reptiles in my house.
Well, I'm no longer coming over to hang out with you and watch football and baseball. That's just not going to happen.
That's okay. I don't watch sports anyway.
I can run a 4.2 40-yard dash if I see a snake. There's only one thing on this earth.
You can't drive a 4.2 40.
I am only scared of one truly honest thing on this earth, and that is them slithering, disgusting, evil creatures that God made crawl on his belly, and he got mad that he has to crawl on his belly for the rest of his life. That's why he's so evil. I am afraid of nothing in this world other than a snake. I will run. I will scream. I will cry. I will pee. They're terrifying. They're disgusting. They're inherently evil.
Hey, okay. Richard, you want to have some fun?
Don't even start with me. Do not.
I used to be kind of weird about snakes too. I used to anything that can kill me, absolutely not.
That's
anything,
a perfect
I,
nope.
I've got
ropes.
A ball python. That's it. Yeah, nope ropes. I was always like that. Yeah. Honestly, the only reason I owned this one is because I wanted to prove myself that I wasn't going to be a chicken I could own one. And then also my ex-girlfriend told me I was never allowed to have a snake. So once we broke up, I was determined.
What did Taco say in that one? Real the one launched at the cages in, he goes, that's what you get, you pool noodle from hell, because it launched at the window and it fell off it's whatever. God, my skin's literally crawling right now. That is my only fear in life,
the reptile exes and stuff. But basically they're having a whole thing because the building's getting sold. Tri-County Shrine Club, I believe their charter has been pulled by Murat.
Oh, man.
And it's a whole – there's a news article about it if you want to read it. Maybe another episode. You can
yeah, – it's not with me. We don't need to talk
about it. But anyway
– no, we don't have to air dirty laundry.
Because that got done, I believe that Falls Lodge was meeting there, and now they're meeting back at their location at I believe it's at a church in Clarksville. And then, of course, that forced George Rogers Clark, Scottish Rite, to have to move. And they actually are at New Albany Temple. I think I said Scottish Rite room. We have the York Rite.
Right.
So we have York Rite number one is at, or I don't know how it all.
Council number
the different
one.
Names.
Yeah.
That. I'm not in the York Rite. So they take up the red room part of New Albany's temple. And then we have two lodges in the blue room. They have an extensive wing and a commandery armory. And they have awesome stuff. And the only reason I'm not a part of it is because time. I can't do every Monday. They meet every Monday.
Yeah,
they have all three bodies.
And it's a lot.
It's a lot. And that's the only reason I'm not in it yet. And I did Scottish Rite because we're a new forming valley. They said, hey, you know, you come in and you'll get your 32nd degree as soon as possible. Now, that wasn't necessarily the only reason I came in. I was just, they said, look, it's not that much meeting. It's further light in masonry. And I liked that.
Yeah.
Because after 4 years in Blue Lodge, I just was like, okay, I've seen this EA Fellow Crafter Master Mason degree a lot. And I was kind of ready for something else. And they, Scottish Rite only in my valley only meets on the fifth Monday. If we have one, and then executive committee, I think they meet once a month. I'm always off on that, and I'm not in the line. I'm in the line. I'm an officer in the Scottish Rite. I forgot about that title. I'm the senior warden of the Gedaliah Council of the Princes of Jerusalem.
Okay.
I forgot about that one. Of George Rogers Clark.
Oh,
Scottish
cool.
Rite. But I'm not in a voting position, so I don't go to them. I just kind of keep informed just because I have conflicting. I'm a Cozier funster. I do the clowning.
That meets
on the same day.
What kind of clown are you?
I am a character clown.
Okay.
I actually dress up in a safari outfit, like a zookeeper almost.
Nice.
And, I have a white face. I've always been into animals. I used to work. I used to work at a zoo in Charlestown, Indiana. If you've ever heard about Wildlife in Need, it was featured on Tiger King. Love that this is getting mentioned in this.
Yeah, it's not very good of push on there. It's been done time.
It's a great topic. I've got all kinds of.
I called for help twice. Not a blank you, not a what do you need, or nothing. That's become one of my favorite memes.
I've never watched it.
I watched the first. I haven't watched the second one. Let me tell you right now.
I couldn't bring myself to
Joe Exotic got us through the first couple months of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Especially during quarantine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was all
I could do.
Because everybody said it's going to be 2 weeks. No, for some places it was three. For my factory, it was three. We were quarantined 3 weeks. Joe Exotic got me through that first week of quarantine. And that's my favorite meme. I use that for everything. I called for help twice. Not a blank you. What do you need or nothing?
My favorite is that girl get their arm cut off and their bit off. And goes, I'm never going to financially recover from this.
Yeah.
Like, you're not worried about her arm being severed?
Yeah. That whole thing was – that was the craziest piece of American cinematography I think we'll ever see. I don't know if we'll ever get anything like that.
The other best part was interesting. The other best part is the Carole Baskin song that came out that went viral with all the kids singing it. Carole Baskin killed her husband. Carole Baskin. Okay. Anyways,
it was.
I don't know if we're allowed to talk about Joe Exotic. Hopefully, Grand Lodge doesn't know what we're talking about. So
I don't want to talk about Joe Exotic.
it's something. It's something else. Fun fact: Joe Exotic follows me on Instagram.
Did he die?
I don't know how that.
No,
happened.
He's not dead.
Oh, I think
he's plotting his revenge against Carole Baskin.
He's in prison.
Yeah.
He's in prison. And then
doing like a 20-year
my old
bid.
Boss was featured on the show. And then actually in season two, there's three whole episodes about my old boss and the old place of work getting all of their animals taken by the state of Indiana.
Oh, wow.
It's fun. I haven't watched it yet because I was living it lifetime. So I was just like,
Wow.
I only worked there for like 6 months and I left promptly. This was actually in 2018 and I left promptly because I was like, whatever. This is
something
not cool.
Not right here, probably. But
something ain't right. Yeah. We're definitely on a tangent. I don't remember what we were talking about before.
Yeah, we do that a lot.
I have no idea what we were talking about before.
So, as far as Scott Schreit goes, what about the philosophies of Scott Schreit? What do you think that brings to Freemasonry for you?
Ooh, deep question. Good question.
What, you saying the shrine? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last question.
The Scott Schreit, as far as the philosophies taught to the degrees of Scott Schreit, what is that? What do you think it adds to your Freemasonry, behind all that stuff?
So, Scottish Rite for me brings in what you think of when you really think of Freemasonry, I suppose, when you're looking at it from the outside looking in. You online you always see pictures of Freemason wearing regalia and wearing suits.
Right.
We don't wear suits in Lodge.
Not
really.
A lot of us don't.
A lot of us don't in Blue Lodge.
True.
Most people in this area are wearing jeans and a polo, and that's fine. And I don't actually see a problem with that.
No.
But when it comes at Scottish Rite, we wear suits. Actually, yeah. I think the officers are supposed to wear tuxes. I just wear a suit. I don't have a tux.
Yeah.
But it's still, everybody has that. We all have our hats. We have jewels. It's nice. And then we, of course, watch degrees. Usually, even if we have a stated meeting, we still watch a degree. If we have a spring reunion, a fall reunion, we'll have 5 or 6 degrees squeezed in there. This, our last fall reunion, we actually had a degree performed live. We're a growing valley, and we're wanting to get there to where we do perform everything live, live degrees. But Northern Masonic Jurisdiction, we
watch
degrees.
Yeah, you got the videos. But
some people aren't into that, and that's fine. I do enjoy them. I like the lessons in them.
Right.
I like the stories.
See, I joined up at Indianapolis, and of course, Indianapolis back in the day was all actors. I mean, when I joined, it was the smallest class ever. I think we had 15 guys in our class, but I had the smallest class ever at Indianapolis. And I think there was more guys in the cast than there was in the audience. I mean, that's how bad it was then. But I mean, we saw the 4th and 14th, of course, and then several others sprinkled through there and everything. But it baffles me that, these guys were full makeup, full, fake beards and full regalia and everything. And it's just for, simple old guys like me and you,
Yeah. Yeah. And it was something else for me. And it was something where I got to feel like, hey, and another reason that, and actually the biggest reason I joined Scottish Rite was I joined shortly when I was senior warden of my Blue Lodge, knowing that I was about to head to the East.
Right.
And I was like, Scottish Rite is going to be able to give me some more tools for my work belt when becoming master. So that was what, in my mind, I was like, I'm excited for this because this will bring more to the table for my lodge. I'm relatively young when it comes to masters. I'm 28. I was 27 when I became master. And I have definitely learned. I was definitely and still am too young for the job that I had this year. But all in all, it happened.
That kind of segues me to the next thing. Like, we put out a call on social media tonight, and I told Todd I'm never doing that again. My phone blew up. The comment section blew up. I had Facebook messages. We had Facebook comments. I had text messages. We had Facebook messages on the podcast page of everybody wanting to come on the show. We've had some that already been on there. And I was like, you know what? I want somebody that's a first-time guest tonight. And then, you said something, and I told Todd, I said, I think I want to go with Jeffries down in New Albany. And he said, really? Why? I said, well, I said, he's a great guy. I said, but he's awful young to be in the master seat. I said, dude's not even in his 30s. Literally what I told Todd. I said, he's a young pup. I said, but he's trying to facilitate change. And
yes.
So I was like, let's see what he's got going on. But before we get back to that, I want to step back to something you just said a minute ago. You said why you kind of joined the Scottish Rite. Well, a question we've started to ask on the show more and more recently is why did you get involved in the other appendant bodies? Now, some guys are just strictly Blue Lodge guys, but I found out, you know, I petitioned the York Rite in July of last year. I finished my York Rite journey. Well, I shouldn't say it's finished. It's never finished. I completed all my York Rite degrees a year later in July or August of this year. But I knew a year ahead of time, going into about the time we launched the podcast, that I was happy to be back, and Blue Lodge is my passion. Blue Lodge should be everybody's passion. Without Blue Lodge, there is no foundation for everything else. But what made you determine, like, I need something more? So why did you get involved in the appendant bodies?
That falls back to, I knew I wanted to take some time, because this was something that was talked about when people were made new Master Masons. You had a guy from the Scottish Rite show up and, hey, just so you know, you can, you're now able to join Scottish Rite.
Oh, we know. We've had these talks. Yep.
Yeah. So, and I'm not against it, because I get what they're doing. They need people, and it's great. It's great. But I do agree, when you're a brand new, spanking fresh Master Mason, you do not need to run off into the other appendant bodies. You need to chill out and, you know, do you, in a sense of how to say that. In my youth, I suppose, that, I just don't think it's the best move. Now, everybody's different, of course. I have a guy, he's actually he's newly raised Master Mason in our Brother Lodge, Pythagoras, who meets in our temple. His name is Sage. He just got raised, and he said, you know, he found out I actually wore my fez at the two stated meetings ago as my head covering in Lodge run our stated meeting. And that was to bring attention to the shrine, so tell them, hey, if you all are interested in Kozair Shrine, I'm just letting you know I am a Shriner, and that's it, at Kozair, and if you have any questions, just ask me. I said, but I wanted to do that just to, it was fun, something different, you know, instead of wearing the pirate hat. And that brother actually, he said, hey, you know, actually one of the big reasons I wanted to join Masonry is I want to be a Shriner, I always did. And I said, okay, you know, so he is, I think he's going to file his petition here soon. He missed the deadline before our kid's petition read before he was a Master Mason. We're having a ceremonial next month.
Oh, nice.
To bring in,
Is it nice?
Yeah. So he's excited for that. And, you know, that's what he wants. And, you know, and I did tell him, you know, you should still, you know, Blue Lodge is important, and, you know, he gets that. And I don't think he's going to just disappear. Like, you know, we talk about that a lot. Brothers disappearing. My lodge is, we've got 150 dues paying members. I mean, maybe 20 of those are 50 year past members, or they've already. But
that's a big lodge.
It's a big lodge here
you're,
in Indiana.
You're in that metropolitan, that Louisville area. I mean, it's
a lot of people there.
Yeah,
and we're an old lodge. You know, we're New Albany 39. We've been around the longest. We're a relatively large lodge, and I don't know exactly. History wise, I've only been here 6 years now, going on, and
I'm looking at you pointing a finger, and you know what I'm getting ready to say.
Pull it.
No. Lodge tour.
Oh yeah, we do it in New Albany.
I know the master, the current sitting master of New Albany Lodge. I bet he would probably let us come down there and record some episodes.
Record some we probably do.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, the best part
I'm
about this.
Be there.
Sorry, Richard. No, the best part about this is the whole lodge tour thing was just a happy accident, and then it blew up to something. We, you know, the lodge was booked. We weren't told that. We needed an emergency place to record. Du Bois 520 opened up. We left them a little donation there on the desk for letting us record. And then we did the Vincennes thing. Yep. And then word got out. And now we have multiple lodges telling us, come record here. Come record here. So it's like the lodge tours. That's what we call it.
We're going to have to do a big one this fall or winter. Be a fun one.
Go down to New Albany. I like seeing these lodges because every lodge is just a little bit different.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
I would absolutely love for you all to come down anytime. I would plan my whole day around it just for you all to come in and not even to record. Yes. I love showing every brother our lodge. We have a beautiful lodge. I mean, truthfully, it's beautiful. It's an old building. I think The mansion part of it is 160, almost 170 years old, and
oh, wow.
Our lodge facility itself is 100 years old.
Oh, wow.
Our chartered lodge is going on 190. In December, it'll make 190 years.
Oh, come on, dude. We got to go. You hear what he's saying? We got to go.
So it's a huge, I mean, we've got a basement that we're renovating right now. We just added in a rec room. Hard, tireless work from our many of our brothers, our lodge secretary, Don Hanen. I don't know if you know him. Our current junior warden, Kenny Jackson, one of our trustees, Jack Messer. They have been absolutely crucial when it comes to working on this building in their spare time. And a lot of our brothers, you know, we'll meet up if they ask for help. And I will say it was a lot more help prior to COVID. our building, we're fortunate to have such a large building. Of course, that causes us to have to raise a lot more money to keep it up and running. I think 8 years ago, we were ready to sell the building.
Oh, wow.
And the trustees, crazy. I think, pulled together and said, no, we're not doing that. They invested. We now actually have a renter. She rents our four of our rooms in the front part of the house. Her income, I mean, it helps. It keeps the bills. It keeps the lights on. I mean, it really does. Without her, we would be going under quickly.
Now, you got to do a big fundraiser near New Albany for what, the fall festival? You got to sell donuts?
Oh, yeah, donuts. Harvest Homecoming. We've been selling donuts for, I think, 40 or 50 years. I don't know the number.
Harvest Homecoming's a wonderful event.
And you guys make it's a great event. That's a pretty good fundraiser for you guys, too, if I remember right.
It brings in the majority of our trustee fund. So it's a trustee fundraiser, so the joint of two lodges used to be three. But, yes, it brings in the majority of our cash, which keeps – the trustees able to keep spending, insurance and everything. And
since you brought it up,
I'm not sure how much we made this year, but yeah.
Since you brought it up,
what
I do have to say, what happened at the Harvest Homecoming a couple weeks ago made national news. So,
oh yes,
it's tragic what happened.
Okay, I don't watch the news anymore. So what happened?
I work for a radio and TV station for your uncle, and you don't watch the news.
Sorry, I got rid of cable.
Richard, it's your bread and butter. It's your community. You want to – I was just going to say how, you know, tragic it happened, and thoughts and prayers go out to the families affected by this. But,
yeah. So
free plug.
For those listening who don't know
– it made national headlines. You should know, but
– It did. Those who don't know, Harvest Homecoming, Saturday night, I believe – there was a shooting. It was not an active shooter or anything. It was two parties, young men who apparently got in an altercation earlier in the day. And they decided later when they met up at the rides portion of Harvest, which is honestly where there is a lot of, I don't want to say the word crime. That's not the correct word, but there's a lot of
hostility. Tension, we'll say hostility.
Hostility. There's young people. The teenagers are always fighting. There's usually a fight every year at the riots, at least a fight. This was the first time I think a guns out broke, but yes, they decided to answer their quarrels with firearms, and they shot at each other into the crowd. Injuring two people and
an innocent bystander, high school student, a high school football standout athlete.
Yep,
he lost his life
tragically.
Yeah, you didn't hear about that, dude? That made national headlines, like all over the country. National headlines.
Dude, my kids are on TV all the time. I don't get to watch much.
The only reason I brought it up because you said Harvest Homecoming, and I was like, this is a good plug because that's what we do as Masons. We send thoughts and prayers to people affected, whether they're Masons or not. And this was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a squabble between some younger kids. They decided to pull firearms on each other, and, you know, shots rang out into a crowded area, and two innocent bystanders were shot, or three. Unfortunately, one of them was a high school teenager who lost his life. That's what you're doing right now. You went to the Google.
It was tragic, you know, and it definitely, I don't think, you know, none of the brothers were down there. I don't, I think it happened late in the night. I think it ended up, we just ended up packing up. I wasn't there that night. I just actually got back from the cave degree down in, I forgot where that, what that area was called.
Mount Vernon, in Kentucky.
Yep, there. And that's where I got to meet up with some Indiana brothers, including you here on the show. And yep, we're just, it was great. It was a great time. I got home super late, super tired, been up since 6. I went to bed and woke up to this news.
Oh, wow.
It was, you know, as far as I know, everybody was safe in our area. The community really had an outstanding reaction. They canceled harvest the next day, the last day, Sunday. Our officials canceled it about 7, 8 in the morning. They said, you know, we weren't even able to run our trash pickup duties because of the investigation. You know, it's right, just best, you know, and so they moved everybody out. And then everybody, of course, some people were mixed reactions. You know, some people were hounding us about, you know, are you all still going to sell your donuts? And we were already packed up, getting everything cleaned up by that time. And
Richard, I would like to ask, just out of curiosity, mm-hmm, is there any, not even saying any of the lodges around, but is there any community activism going on to help the families affected by this? Oh, is anybody absolutely talking
that,
about
that? That was where I was going into.
Okay.
Many places, actually that turned into a good thing, was some of the places that had leftover food from it, they said, hey, we're going to do a pop-up over here, and the proceeds are going to go to benefit the victim who lost his life. I hate to say, I forgot his, I think his last name was Gerlach.
Yes, Bryce Gerlach.
Bryce, yeah, I was going to say Brian. I knew his last name was Gerlach. It was awful, but the community coming together was beautiful, and I hate to say that a life had to be lost for that to happen, but this is something unprecedented. And, you know, everybody, I believe they've started a scholarship fund. As of right now, there's talks amongst our lodge with helping, whether that would be a monetary donation, which is probably all we can do. I believe his funeral is covered. I posted his funeral on our Facebook page. And, you know, I also sent out a notice about, you know, how deeply heartbroken we were as a community, that this was not a time for anybody to be worrying about who was selling what, because that was important to me. I felt like, you know, this boy had died. This is a huge fundraiser for us. We really, you know, we need this. We need to do Harvest Homecoming. And of course, missing that last day, it definitely hurt us, but that's beside the point. This wasn't a time for us to think about that. And, I think all of our brothers were on board with that. The community wanted our donuts. I like, you know, people love our donuts, and that's great. I don't like them personally.
What?
They're just donuts.
Who doesn't,
I know,
like,
isn't
donuts?
That crazy? It's great. I've eaten them every year, and, you know, to me, they're just donuts. They're donuts. They're good, but I guess I'm tired of them. I've just had them so much. But people go crazy over them, and I'm like, gosh, chill out. It's just, it's fried dough and a honey glaze. Chill out.
They must like something. I don't know. I never had them, so I don't know.
Well, one year maybe we'll figure that out for y'all. But it's a tragic what happened, but I think the beautiful part of it was the community coming together. Many businesses offered services to those in the community. Many places rose money. I believe Bryce Gerlach, he ate at a Mexican restaurant, I believe in Sellersburg, that he always ordered this specific dish. Everybody who came in that day and ate that dish, that money from that went towards to him. That's to his cool family. And it was really nice. The whole community really came together over that.
I can't imagine being a high school teenager and you're just hanging out with your friends.
Yeah.
And you're going to the big festival, and that
he was there with his girlfriend.
Last thing you ever
they
knew.
Were celebrating their 1 year anniversary.
And
it was awful. It really was. And it's not, that's something that honestly, you know, here I am talking about, I lived in Louisville for 16 years and I'm so happy to live over here. That's one of the reasons why is crime. And we don't have a lot of that crime in New Albany like that. Mm-mm. So it really was, it was shocking. And they, people have been saying it for more many, many years. Well, the crime from Louisville's trickling on over, and of course this is an issue everywhere, but I've just always said I feel like people nowadays, kids, young people, I think they just have some disconnect when it comes to, you know, I don't fight my enemies now, now I'm just going to shoot at them.
Right.
And I just feel like there's something not clicking somewhere, and it's unfortunate we're having to live in that these days.
That's true. Yeah. But.
Well,
I'll do a brighter note. What did you think about the cave and everything there down there at Mount Vernon? That's your first time being there, right?
I wouldn't walk that hill.
That was my first time. Oh yeah, well, I think we did that hill twice. I was upset. Yeah. Nope. I was like, oh my god, you have to leave here, go down this hill to eat, and then come back up.
I just took snacks with me. I wouldn't have left the cave. I may walk it, make it multiple trips. No,
but it was that whole experience was amazing for multiple reasons. The third reason, it'll be funny in the end. But getting there, I was a little like, oh my gosh, they weren't joking. There's no phone service out here. But we got there just fine and got there on time. Left a little bit early. If I would have known, my mom told me this. I said, if I would have known it didn't start till 11, I might have left at like 9 instead of 6 in the morning, because it was a 2-hour drive for me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get there on time. And she's like, no, because if you would have done that, you would have just got there late after 11. I said, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
So we got there about a little after 9:30, and that was great. And we got to, and that the opportunity, we got to explore this cave. This cave was gorgeous. I think, did you all go together last year?
No, Jared could go last year. But
I couldn't go this year either.
Oh my gosh.
My best friend got married last year, so I couldn't go. And then this year, my ex-wife got married, and we had a swap weekend. So, no, I didn't. A wedding has interfered marriage. 2 years in a row.
Marriages are a trap. No, besides the point. I'm saying that. Anyway, that cave experience was awesome. It's something new. You know, you do a Master Mason lodge, you do a Master Mason degree, it's always in a lodge. That's fine. That's great. I had never done one in a cave. And I've heard about this for like, I don't think it was specifically this cave, because I think this was the third year that they've done it.
Yes, third year.
So I think there was one even maybe before that one somewhere else.
Well, they had one out of Tennessee also.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. And I always hear about it, and I was like, I'm going to make this cave degree. And usually I miss the cave degree, because I'm at Harvest, and this year I said, I need to be there. I agree. And this is something we always argue about. Everybody's always overworking at Harvest. I said, I can't miss it this year. I gotta go. This is something I'm looking forward to, either because I'm at Harvest, or also because I worked at Haunted Houses. I just after 10 years in the haunt industry, I also said goodbye to that just so I could have more time. So it was nice to be able to go. I said, I'm definitely going 100%. And actually, Sage, who I talked about earlier, that new Master Mason at Pythagoras, mm-hmm. he specifically said, I want to go to that. Please schedule my Master Mason so that I can go. And so we did. And that's who I brought down with me. He was the only person. The other people said they wanted to go, but he ended up being the only person to come.
Yep.
So it was a good time.
Now, have Beautiful. You ever seen a Kentucky Master Mason before?
Yes. Okay. I've seen three other Kentucky Master Masons at one place, and one place only, and that would be at the Hudsonville Holler Degree. Matter of fact, the only time I've ever been to a Kentucky degree is informally at the Hudson Degree, or now at a Cave Degree.
You weren't as lost as I was then, because I was confused as could be sometimes.
Oh yeah, it was something else. It was something else. They have a lot of different things, but similar, very similar, of course, but different.
Yep, that cave is that's not actually a cave. It's actually a mine. If you didn't already know that, it was a saltpeter mine for the like War of 1812. That's where they got. That's where the saltpeter reserve was for the Continental Army.
Yeah, the history in it was awesome. He said, one of the guys going in, he said, if you look up on the ceiling, you'll see there's square and compasses that are there, that have been there for 100 years. And I looked, I didn't see any,
I didn't see
but, it was still cool. It was still awesome. You know, they said that the cave was used as a hospital during the Civil War.
Oh, wow.
And it was something. I didn't realize how extensive this cave. I figured it was just going to be walking down and maybe a little cramped, and it's just this little small cave. And this thing is huge. I was almost intimidated to explore it because I was like, there's no guy here, like, guiding us. Like, what if I get lost?
I think they probably got marked off.
Probably, but I feel like I could keep on wandering. I feel like I didn't even go as much as there was to see. I was almost scared to do it.
Yeah, I don't go the beaten path very much in there, so I kind of stay where I need to be.
Yeah, so it was awesome, very unique. I have every plan to go next year.
Yeah, I plan on going again next year. I'm hoping if I told Jared this tonight. I said, if Grand Lodge will allow it, I want to see if we can do an Indiana degree down there. Do an Indiana master.
Right.
That would, that's definitely something I would support.
Yeah, I don't know if we're allowed to do degrees outside the state. Some states are different about that. So
yeah, everybody, yeah, I get that. And we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm
going to talk to the Grand Master and Deputy Grand Master about it and see what they got to say. And maybe they can just write a dispensation and we can do it for a one-day thing. Or maybe we have to go in front of the Grand Lodge to get something changed in the bylaws. I don't know. I said, but I'm going to ask the question, at least.
I've never been to Marengo Cave or even – I've been to Squire Boone Caverns. I don't know how those caves are. I mean, we have caves here in Indiana.
Right, yeah. I've been to the one there in Corden. I went to that with my daughter's field trip one year, and it's not big enough to do anything like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, that's what I don't. I don't know.
You gotta have a big open room, and as far as I know, those really don't have anything that I've seen. But you never know. I mean, something might open up.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I think that'd be something because I seen South Carolina was there last year. And then they did Kentucky this year. I mean, Indiana's just got to be that. I mean, why not?
You know, I think we have a few cool – I mean, I guess I've seen there is a Castle degree up north somewhere.
Yeah, I missed that one last week. I was sick.
Oh, it was last weekend? Dang. Yeah.
Bowling Green.
Well, they have another one coming up in May also. Another lodge do one in May.
Yeah, I think there was another one that was in May, and I missed that one. There's a castle in, I think it's in Charlestown, Indiana, not too far from me. I don't know what they're doing. It's called Birdsell Castle. Mm. And, there's been talk with me and some other guys saying, you know, what if we could get a degree there, do something cool there, with, masonry, but of course it's always talk and it's also having to get people to participate, but you know, hey, maybe this is what happens. I'm saying it now. Maybe somebody will be like, hey, that's a great idea. Well, so we'll see.
The good thing in Indiana, though, is everybody can kind of you always find somebody to plug in to a position. So, because you know, not like you have just your officers do it. I mean, you can get anybody from the sidelines who knows the part to do it. So,
yeah,
it's just a matter of getting people there.
And that is nice. Yes, it is. I currently, I think we have a Master Mason actually every year on Thanksgiving in my lodge. So actually, if you all are not busy on Thanksgiving, more than welcome. We start the degree at 6 in the morning. We're done by 9 a.m. We serve a great breakfast, and everybody leaves.
That is true. You see those in Jackie's email all the time.
Might be worth trying out.
Well, if they're going to feed me breakfast.
It's a good breakfast.
You know there's going to be some B&G.
It's only an hour and a half from you guys.
There's going to be some B&G.
Yeah, I may have talked to wife about that one.
You'd be home by 11.
Yeah, but I miss the parade.
Okay, I do watch the parade. That was me and my mom's thing. I don't miss the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
We'll see. I'll talk to my wife about it.
Maybe there you go. But that's something we've done every year, last 76. I think this is in the year 77.
Oh, wow.
We've raised a Master Mason on Thanksgiving morning in our temple.
Huh, that's kind of neat. I never heard that before.
Yeah, so we're excited for that, and I'm actually learning King Solomon for that right now.
Oh, yeah, that's a good part.
Yeah,
it's not as bad as what you think though when you're learning it.
It's not as bad as you would think.
Yeah, the bad part is the prayer, and then doing the stuff afterwards. make sure you get all that stuff in order.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I learned it. It was exactly pretty simple. I got it, and I only did it like twice, and then everyone else kind of took over after that.
Right. But,
cool.
So yeah, that's something that that we do, and it's pretty cool. It's very interesting.
So let's talk ritual, because we always talk ritual. No. What's some of your favorite parts of ritual to perform? What's some of your favorite parts of ritual to see? Everybody's got certain parts of ritual that they enjoy. What is yours?
So my favorite ritual, part of ritual to perform, I mean, I'm assuming we're allowed to just say it, I guess without giving details, but...
just don't throw a strike down the middle. Just paint the corner of the plate with your pitches. So
yeah, you can say but, like crossfire, my favorite thing to do is,
huh?
You can say like, you know, crossfire, King Solomon, or do the charge.
Yeah,
or
yeah, cool.
Something like that. Yeah.
So my favorite part to perform is second base and the Master Mason degree. Okay.
So that's admirable. We can work with that. Second base. Why second base? Everybody always says third base. Why second base?
So second base, I think, well, I've never actually had the opportunity to do third. Of course, I would love to. That's my favorite one to see is third. But my favorite one to do is second. It was just the one that I was a pretty new Master Mason. And they said, Richard, do you want to do second base? And I was like, me? And that's just what I learned, and that's what I do. And so I'm always excited to do it. I work, so sometimes I like to like try to change my voice to throw off the, you know, do something else, you know, it's fun to do it. It's a great time. So I know it, I'm excited. In the course of things, first, second, third, second gets to heat some things up. And I like to have a little show for everybody and the candidate, of course.
See, I always like doing third craft. I don't know why. Somehow I got circled in third craft years ago. But I always enjoy doing it. I always have fun doing it.
Oh, yeah. Me, you, and John couldn't do first, second, or third craft.
Yeah,
we were all running over each other's lines.
Yeah,
Craft's hard.
It is hard. You have to kind of see a degree a lot to kind of know the timing. And me, Jared, and our honorary third member of the podcast, we said we were going to do the third craft on a master base degree, and we messed up so bad. I think I did first, second, and third craft.
That was the best second half of Master Mason degree that candidate had ever seen that night.
That is true. But yeah, for some reason, third craft, I always enjoy doing third craft. I thought it's always fun.
I enjoy doing the stair lecture.
No, you don't.
Really? You do the stair lecture?
No. I can do the first two pages of the stair lecture, and after that, I just tap out. It's done.
Okay, good, because I was like, oh, cool. We have a stair lecture needed for you. Call you in.
Nope.
No, we have a few guys who can do it, but it ain't me or him. I know that.
We got a few guys, of course, too, and then you know that's the thing. People who say, you know, if you know the stair lecture, don't tell anybody.
Yeah,
that joke.
Yeah,
because you'll just be continuously doing that stair lecture.
You will get unsolicited phone calls.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you all know who Daniel Harbin is? He belongs to New Washington Lodge.
Sounds familiar.
He's awesome. We love him at New Albany Lodge. And I used to feel bad. I'm like, I just can't keep asking him to do things. And my senior warden, Daniel Pepper, he goes, no, he likes it. He goes, he genuinely likes to do it. Ask him. So I finally stopped worrying about it. And he's always helpful. He's always there for us. He does a great, I mean, absolutely phenomenal third base, followed by the soliloquy. Actually one of my favorite parts in ritual is that soliloquy, because most people don't do it.
Yeah, I didn't learn that.
My best friend, Joey Stillwell, good brother of mine, he was the first time I ever seen the soliloquy, and it just blew me away. I was like, this is interesting. This is something else. I've just never seen it after 2 years.
Yeah, it's not something that's widely done across the state. I know that.
Why is that not more common?
It makes a long night longer.
You get in the bigger cities and the bigger lodges up north, they do that a lot, but down here...
First time I ever saw it, I saw it at the Grand Lodge building at one of the lodges there, a center lodge, and meets the Grand Lodge building. I saw a guy do it there, and he had a custom shovel and he had a custom lantern and everything with square compasses on it and LED lights and it was all pretty and stuff.
It was all show.
Well, but yeah, but it had a good meaning behind it and everything. So he was really good at it too. I mean, he put a lot of emphasis on it.
And that's very intriguing to me. I hear a lot of things, and my experience with masonry is strictly Indiana, Southern Indiana,
right.
Hudsonville, and now C.D. Ward. And I have gone to Shawnee Lodge for one of their stated meetings. I actually look forward next Friday. I'm leaving to go to New Orleans, and I've already been in contact with a lodge down there to go to one of their meetings. So I'm going to kind of get to see that. I don't get to see masonry outside of really this area. So we have a brother who actually came to us from Colorado, and he's absolutely one of my favorite people to see in lodge. When he comes in, he wears a suit. He's got a, I guess I forgot the proper name for the jewel that goes around the neck, but the Grand Lodge wears it, but he's got his own.
Collars. Let's call them collars.
Yeah. And in Colorado, that's normal for them to wear them. You know, we only wear, really only Grand Lodge wears those. And he's just the past master of his lodge. And he told us that our degree is, our work is just completely different than the way it is for him in Colorado. Huh. And I want to know. I want to know what the differences are.
Because, you know, we're one of the earlier Grand Lodges to be founded in the country. I figure we still kind of went by the old ways of doing stuff. But, you know, you just never know. I mean.
Right.
I'll check with my people. I'm in good with the Grand Lodge of the United States.
Okay.
Okay.
That's my favorite thing.
Sure.
What's your Grand Lodge? The United States? Oh, really? What can you tell me about the Grand Lodge of America? They're governing body over me and you.
Nope.
Sure bet.
Oh, yeah.
Sure bet.
Call Austin.
Those guys that message you on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was the wildest thing, I think, when I became a Mason was I just made one post and the amount of random spam messages I got.
Join the Illuminati.
The Illuminati.
I'm still waiting. Hey, man, I'm still waiting on my check. I'm still waiting on my check.
Right. I have a message this guy on WhatsApp, and he's promising me $666,000.
That's a very particular number.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my account. It ain't come yet.
Well, Richard, we're gonna go ahead and start to wrap this one up. Todd's been up since 4:30 this morning. He's starting to get heavy eyes on me. So
I understand.
So not to say that we won't revisit a part two with you down the road. I think we would. We've only kind of scratched the surface of things we want to talk to you about. However, we will end this show like we end every other episode with not any question, the question. So when your time has come and you lay down your working tools, and everybody lays down their working tools.
Because no one gets out alive.
When people think back on you, and we're not saying so much more as just a regular man. I mean, you can include it that way if you want, but more specifically, just about you as a Mason, about your journey, your stories, your time as a Mason. What do you hope people will remember? What do you hope your lasting legacy to the fraternity has been?
I hope my lasting legacy to the fraternity is people remember how much I've got to smile and make people laugh, but also simultaneously taking the craft very seriously, but still having fun. I think there's still a good mix of brothers who it's serious. And then there's a good mix of brothers who are like, we're here to have fun. And depends on who you ask. I love Freemasonry. I tell everybody I am young. I'm the only Mason in my family. My biggest thing is I want people to know Freemasonry is still here. It is not a satanic cult. We're happy, mostly happy people who really just here to make the world a better place the best way we can while really just making ourselves better.
Love it.
Awesome.
It's a different answer every time, but it's always the same. Yep. It's all about something before yourself. So, all right. Well, Richard, we really appreciate the time tonight. It was good to get a chance to talk to you. And again, We'd probably run a little bit longer, but we're both kind of dragging tails, so we're going to tie it up. And I think we'll have a part two with Richard, because we have a man's wearing that many Masonic hats. There's a lot more to the story. So, absolutely. I mean, that's good.
I can talk, unfortunately. But thank you both, Jared, Todd.
We had Tiger King references tonight, and we So the episode didn't go too bad. I mean, you know, for not having earbuds, you know, I was worried about walking on. It wasn't too bad. So, but Richard, thank you so much for your time, brother. And we'll be in touch with a part two down the road.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Have a good night.
Yeah, buddy.
You too.
Bye-bye. Well, Todd.
That wraps up tonight.
We got a nice little... That'll give us a chance till we get together again. We'll have a little cushion here. We're rolling along through season 5. Can't believe we've been doing this 5 seasons.
Big good 5 seasons, though. Hell.
I didn't think we'd have more than 5 episodes, but we kept pushing, and boy, people kept listening. And then we hit episode 10 at Founders Day, and off we went.
What, 70?
70 something episodes? I don't even know where we're at.
Maybe 78. We hit 100. We got to do something special on that one.
Oh, we will do 100.
Maybe we'll have our refreshment boys down here.
Have a party. Maybe we'll – you know what we ought to do? What? Go record at the George Washington.
Oh, God. I don't know about all that.
We can pull that off. D.C. trip. Mama let us have a house for a weekend.
We'll see. Maybe. I don't know yet.
No, you know what I really want to do? And I can't put this off, but if there's any Masons out there, they're in touch. I want to record.
At Schofield?
Nope.
Well, yes.
I'm looking to your right shoulder. Look, what's up on the wall? What's up there?
Oh, George. Hi, George.
You know what I'd like to do? No. For the 100th episode?
No.
Record at Fredericksburg?
Yeah, that'd be neat, but...
I don't know who I can get in touch with.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you on that one.
Maybe I'll just look at Fredericksburg. I'm thinking that for 100th episode, whenever that hits, I don't know when that'll hit.
How about the back room at Flags?
Only if I got chicken hearts, brother.
We can work on that.
So that's where we're going to end it tonight. A very sleepy and slap happy brother Todd Whaley.
And for a very
energetic and upbeat Jared Atkins.
Yeah, you got more energy than I do right now.
So this has been another episode of That Other Masonic Podcast, guys. You can find us on anywhere you get your podcasts. Spotify, you can find us on Google, Facebook. You can find us on TikTok. You can find us anywhere.
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok.
Instagram, the most useless technology in the world.
Yeah, tough.
Facebook. Why post a picture on Instagram? You got a Facebook and a Twitter.
Yeah, that's bull crap to do with.
So, all right, guys. So we hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you guys next time.
Later.
Thanks for listening to That Other Masonic Podcast, Indiana's first Freemasonry podcast. Be sure to check us out on our social media channels, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. The views and opinions expressed on this show belong to Brother Jared Atkins and Brother Todd Whaley and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Grand Lodge of Indiana.